Well, Merry Christmas, Gateway Church. We are so excited that you've chosen to join us this weekend as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says that when the wise men entered the home, they saw the child Jesus, and the very first thing that they did is they bowed down and they worshiped. In other words, their response to seeing the born King and the Savior of the world was to worship. Today, as we begin our time together, that is our response as well. We're going to begin with worship. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you're joining us, to lift up your heart, to lift up your voice, and join us in singing as we worship the Savior of the world.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. That was so deep. Nowhere. Born is the King of
Nowhere. joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the choirs of angels sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. This happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear.
This baby boy and king traded his diadem, and wearing humanity from the Holy of Holies to the dirt with the lowly.
That we just declared, lift high the name of Jesus. Because a couple weeks ago, I decided to ask my two oldest children what the name Jesus meant. And my six-year-old son, who had just gotten up from a nap, he said, "Well, Daddy, I think the name Jesus means holy." And then he said in some other word that I don't know the meaning of. And so we kind of laughed together and I said, "Well, that's a good guess, son." My oldest daughter, though, she's 8 years old, and she said, "Well, I think the name Jesus means the Lord saves." And then she went on to confess that her and her grandmother had looked it up on the cell phone once. And so that's how she knew. And so we laughed about that. But I said, "You're right. The name Jesus means the Lord saves." And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel is speaking to Joseph, and he says to him, "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I don't know about you, but occasionally I need to be reminded that Jesus is the Savior and I'm not. You see, I can remember being in seasons of my life where I'm completely worn out, I am exhausted, I am perplexed, and I'm frustrated because I've been trying to fix all the problems, solve all the issues, and even occasionally fix the people. And the Holy Spirit and His goodness will come to me and simply remind me, Jelani, you're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. And you need to trust Him. Listen, I don't know where you are today, church, but maybe you can relate. You find yourself in a similar place. You're worn out with the busyness of the season or the weight of things that are going on at work. Maybe you're perplexed. Things hadn't worked out the way you thought they would. Or maybe you're frustrated. You've just been trying to fix something for a while. I don't know. Whatever it is, maybe you're in a place, though, where you've tried to be the Savior, and the Holy Spirit just wants to remind you today, you're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, and you can trust Him. Listen, I want to pray with you. I want to give you a moment right where you are to simply take whatever that concern, that care is, that frustration is, just take a moment and say, I trust you with this as I lead you in a prayer. And so, Father, we do. We take a moment and we bring you all of our concerns, our frustrations. We bring you the weights that we're carrying right now, and we simply lay them at your feet and we say, we're not the Savior. You're the Savior, and we trust you with them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listen, it was so great worshiping with you, and this is just the beginning. Pastor Robert has an incredible message coming up for us, so I encourage you, stay tuned and prepare your hearts to hear a word from God.
Feliz Navidad, Gateway family. We're so excited to celebrate our Savior's birth with you.
A lot of great things are happening at Gateway. Here are just a few.
To stay connected with all that's going on, visit gatewaypeople.com, follow us on social media, and join your campus Facebook group.
If you'd like to give today, you can do that through our website, our mobile app, or one of our offering envelopes at any of our campuses.
There are so many ways to find community here. You can join a group, attend an equip class, or even serve on our build team. To learn more, meet us at Connect Central. Text Connect to 71010 or visit gatewaypeople.com.
We're so glad you joined us. Thanks for being here today.
Father, give us the boldness to speak out loud what other generations only dared to whisper.
You can't outrun His grace. You can't out-sin His love. Jesus told this outcast, marginalized tax collector, yo, follow me. That's the Hebrew translation.
God is looking for somebody that He can use in a supernatural way. Would you be willing to say, God, use me?
God's calling us to the deep right now. Through the relational challenge, through the economic downturn, He said, if you allow me, I will be your anchor.
God is not done with us yet. We are about to see an awakening like we've never seen before.
Hey everyone, Merry, Merry Christmas. I'm going to do something that's a little bit strange. I'm going to start the message with a confession. I have been watching Hallmark movies. I'm sorry, but I do it for Debbie. It's only once a year, guys. I do watch Die Hard. Every year, I know it's the best Christmas movie. It is the classic. But we have watched a lot of Hallmark movies. Just want to get that out of the way and confess that right now. But guys, please still listen to me. I'm still an outdoorsman. I'm still a sportsman. I'm still watching the playoffs that are coming up in January. Okay, all right. So, but here's the point. Christmas is this magical time of year. That's what we're being told in nearly every movie. It's this time when miracles happen. Well, it's true in this sense. A miracle happened 2,000 years ago. And I'm actually going to talk to you today about God wants to do that miracle in you. The title of my message is Merry Christmas. And I want you to look at how I spelled Mary. M-A-R-Y. Like the mother of Jesus. Merry Christmas. In other words, I am praying for the same miracle that happened in Mary to happen in you. Now, hold on, ladies. Don't get nervous, okay? I'm not talking about that the Holy Spirit, you know, overshadows you and you get pregnant and you have a baby. And husbands, you can relax too, okay? Maybe you say, Pastor Robert, my quiver is full. Okay, I understand that. But here's what I'm talking about. Jesus was conceived in Mary. She carried him for 9 months. During that 9 months, he was formed in Mary. And then she delivered him. In other words, the miracle was completed. She delivered Jesus to the world. Have you ever thought about that? When we get saved, the Holy Spirit implants Jesus in us. It's Christ in us, the Bible says, is the hope of glory. Jesus in us. And then Paul talks about, I'm going to show you the scripture in a moment, that Jesus is being formed in us. Hopefully, I look and I walk and I talk and I think more like Jesus today than I did 20 years ago. He's being formed in me. And hopefully, I'm delivering Jesus to the world that's around me, to the people I work with, to the people that now, you know, my kids are grown, but I go to the grandkids' games, maybe to the people I'm talking with, so the people that are around me. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm praying that what happened to Mary, the miracle of Christmas, that all the movies, they're talking about a miracle at Christmas, but we know what the real miracle really was. So I'm talking about that I want the Mary miracle to happen in you. So let's go back and look at it in Luke chapter 1, all right? This is the part of the Christmas message. You know, in Luke chapter 2, that's the part that is read most of the time. Luke 2, verse, you know, the first 15 verses or so. That's what was read, by the way, over the radio. The first time Voice was transmitted over the radio on Christmas Eve. Before then, it had only been Morse code. And the first time ever, they read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. It's what Charlie Brown, it was Linus, I think, in Charlie Brown's Christmas. So let's talk about what happened, all right? Let's go back to Luke 1. Luke 1, verse 26. It says, now in the sixth month, now this is talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy. That Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. So it's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now, here's the first thing I want to show you about this miracle that I think sometimes with the Bible, we just read over these things. This is a little thing, but here it is, okay? God knows where you live better than Google Earth knows. He knows exactly where you live. This angel shows up to Mary's house, the exact street, the exact house, and says, "Blessed are you, highly favored one." Now, just think about this. What if after he said that, you know, "Blessed are you, highly favored one, Holy Spirit's going to come on you and overshadow you. We're going to read that. You're going to have a son." And then this, he heard this deep voice say, "My name's not Mary, it's Harry." Mary moved 3 months ago. Well, that didn't happen. Here's my only point. God knew where Mary lived. And he knows where you live. He knows the intimate details of your life. So that's the first thing, all right? So he shows up, and then this is what he says to Mary. Verse 30, then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive," notice the word conceive, "in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." All right, so there are 3 points I want to talk to you about today, all right? You all knew it was 3, okay? The conceiving of a miracle, the carrying of a miracle, and the completion of a miracle. And this is what I want to happen in my life and in your life. So number one, the conceiving of a miracle. Let's keep going in Luke, verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" This word "know" means intimately. I've never known a man intimately. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age," that's John the Baptist, "and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. Watch, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord," this is the key to conceiving a miracle, "let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, here's my question for you. Do you need a miracle this Christmas? Do you need a miracle in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, your job, your health? Do you need a miracle? Because I do. All of us do. And maybe you might not think of one right now, but I'll bet you've been in a time in your life when you needed a miracle. So what's the key to conceiving a miracle? Let it be to me according to your word. Here's Mary, a virgin. You will conceive a child. Here was her natural response. How can this be? I've never known a man intimately. So it's okay to have questions. It's okay when you get a bad health report to say, how can this be? I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought I would hear the C word when it was about me or about someone in my family. I never thought I would hear the D word, divorce, when it came to my marriage. How can this be? Yet here's what I want you to hear. Here's what the angel said. With God, nothing is impossible. I want to impart faith to you today on Christmas weekend. Nothing is impossible with God. He can do a miracle. So what do you do when God speaks to you and says to you, I can do this? If he wants to conceive a miracle, what do? You do the same thing Mary did. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, you might be saying this. Well, Pastor Robert, if an angel comes to my house and announces this miracle to me, then it'll be easier for me to believe. Well, just for a moment, you remember I love to go into the depth of words. The word angel comes from the Greek word angelos. It's the first part of it. It's spelled just like angel, os, O-S, angelos, and it means messenger. It's used in the New Testament many times even to refer to people. It's used to refer to John the Baptist. When I did the series on the 7 churches of Asia Minor, the 7 churches of Revelation, it talked about the pastors of the churches as the messengers, the angels of the churches. So now I know not all pastors are angels, okay? I know that just some of us are. I mean, some are, okay? Some are. But the point is, you could have a messenger from God that might not be a heavenly angel, but it could be a friend. Could be someone trying to encourage you. Could be that you were just reading the message version of the Bible and you felt like the Holy Spirit spoke something to you. For you to conceive a miracle, I just need to make sure that you understand this. You have to say in your heart, let it be to me according to your word. Now, remember I'm saying, I'm praying that what happened in Mary happens in you. In other words, that a miracle, that God is able to conceive a miracle, who we know is Jesus, in you, and you're able to carry Jesus and then deliver him to the world, okay? So here's what I want you to do. If you're watching today with someone, there's anyone else in the living room with you or wherever, you're in a gathering or whatever, if there's no one else in the room with you, I want you just to say this to yourself, okay? All right? So I want you to actually say something out loud. So if you're by yourself, say it to yourself out loud. If you're not by yourself, turn and look at someone. You can go ahead and do that right now. Turn and look at someone in the room. Lock eyes with someone and say this. God wants to get you pregnant. Just go ahead and tell them. God wants to get you pregnant. Now, again, I'm not talking naturally. He wants to get us all pregnant with a miracle. So that's the conceiving of a miracle. Here's the second part, the carrying of a miracle. Let's keep going in Luke, chapter 1, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb. This is John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She's saying this to Mary. She can only know this by the Holy Spirit. But why is this granted to me? Watch this. This is what Elizabeth says, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. She could only say that because she'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit and she was speaking by the Spirit. For indeed, she said, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. Again, that's how you conceive a miracle, you believe. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And then she goes into a 10-verse prophecy, which is called the Magnificat. So it's very famous, you can read it, and it's all about what Jesus is going to do. So she speaks by the power of the Holy Spirit. But she says some things that are just incredible. But she starts by saying, we call it the Magnificat, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, how do you carry a miracle? Well, the first thing you do is you get around other miracle carriers. The first thing she did was she went to Elizabeth, who was also carrying a miracle, because Elizabeth couldn't get pregnant. She was barren and she was in her old age. Think about the negative things that were going on around Mary. Think about if she tried to tell someone what happened. You know, so tell me again how you got pregnant. Well, the Holy Spirit came on me. That happened to my cousin Jim's girlfriend too. The Holy Spirit came on her too, you know. No one believed that. So she's around all this negativity. So what does she do? She gets around other people who believe in miracles. If you want to carry a miracle, get around other miracle carriers. Get around people who will speak faith into you. And then magnify the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the word magnify, it means to cause something to appear larger. Now, stay with me, okay? We now have reading glasses or reading contacts. But in the old days, they had magnifying glasses. And so when they wanted to read something that they couldn't see, they'd get the magnifying glass and magnify it. Now, it didn't make the words larger, but it made the words appear larger. Here's what I want to say about this. The way we magnify the Lord, it's not that we make God larger, because he's infinite. It's that we allow him to appear larger to us. We praise him, and when we praise him, he appears larger to us than our circumstances do. That's what I want you to understand. In other words, you've got a medical report, or you've got a bad report about the economy, or you've got something negative in your life. The way you magnify something, if you want to know the practicality of this, is you think about it. You meditate on it. So if you meditate on the negative, it's going to appear larger to you. But if you meditate on the Word of God, then the Word of God appears larger to you. It's not that the Word of God gets larger, but it appears larger to you. In other words, God, you see the largeness of God more clearly. That's the way you magnify God. Now, I got to thinking about this. I guess there is one thing that actually gets larger with magnification. And it's the sun. Now, the sun doesn't get larger, but the heat of it does. You can get some dried leaves together, and you can take a magnifying glass, and you can literally start a fire. By the way, you can also burn ants with a... I probably shouldn't have said that. But remember, I wasn't saved growing up, okay? So there are things you can do with the heat from the sun from a magnifying glass that... You know, I was just thinking about, too, all the kids that are watching right now. You can't do that. You just make them think. Never mind. Okay, all right, let's go on. The bottom line is that Mary got around someone who was carrying a miracle, and she magnified the Lord. And so Christ was formed in her during this time. Look at this scripture, Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labored in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed. Ladies who are carrying babies are careful about their behavior. The Bible tells us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We should walk carefully. Ladies who are carrying babies sit differently. They walk differently. They act differently. Sometimes, you know, I can remember when one of my daughters-in-law was pregnant, she would rub her stomach. And I just said, I've always wondered why a pregnant woman, you know, pats her stomach and kind of rubs it. And she says, I'm trying to let him know I'm here. You know, you can quit kicking me, you know. So they're different. Debbie, when she was pregnant, we have three children. One was 8 pounds, 6 ounces at birth. One was 9 pounds, 3 ounces. The other was 9 pounds, 5 ounces. So she had big babies. And Debbie has a small frame. And Debbie knows this, but she got large when she got pregnant. And it was difficult for her because everybody kept making a mistake about how long she'd been pregnant. You know, when she was 5 months pregnant with our first son, Josh, people were saying to her, any day now? And she would say, no, I'm only 5 months. And then they would just go deeper. You know, when you make a mistake like that, you just need to pull out. They'd go deeper and they'd say, oh, is it twins? You know, so it made her feel real, real good. One lady even said to her as a coworker, said, you look obnoxious. You need to have that baby. So didn't make her feel that good. But the point is that she was careful about how she carried the miracle. And that's what I want to say to you. You are carrying a miracle in you that God wants you to deliver to the world. So be careful how you walk. So there's the conceiving of the miracle. There's the carrying of a miracle. Now let's talk about the completion of a miracle. Look at this verse, Luke 2, verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. The days were completed for her to deliver Jesus to the world. Here's the thing that I've got to tell you, though. Sometimes the miracle doesn't turn out exactly like we thought it would. They go to the temple, and there's a prophet there named Simeon. And he's prophesying over Jesus, and he turns to Mary, and he says, "Yes, even a sword is going to pierce your soul." What a prophecy to be given to a new mother. She's carrying the Messiah. She has delivered the Messiah. He's now a baby. And yet the prophet says, a sword is going to pierce your own soul. In other words, Mary, you need to know everything's not going to turn out exactly like you thought. But this is still a miracle. The only reason I'm saying that is sometimes we get disappointed because we think the miracle is going to turn out one way, and it's still a miracle, and it's still for our good, but it doesn't turn out quite like we thought. Because you can imagine 33 years later when she's standing at the foot of the cross, watching her son die, she didn't know he was dying for the sins of the world. And so the miracle might be completed in us a little differently. But I have some good news for you. Since God has conceived the miracle in you, He will complete it. We even have a verse on it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun or conceived a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, this is my word for you, that God wants to do in you what He did in Mary. He wants to conceive His Son in you. He wants His Son to grow in you and be formed in you, and He wants you to deliver His Son to the world. I had this thought, though. But Pastor Robert, Mary was a virgin. Now, here's what we think about with the word virgin. She was pure. And I'm not pure. And I'm not talking about sexually now. I'm talking about that we all see our human fallenness. We all see our sins. We all see our mistakes. There's a scripture that when you first read it, it kind of bothers you. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, and it's verse 9, and it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I've been unrighteous a lot. And then it even has a list. And here's the bad news. I make the list. I mean, I make the list like two or three times. It even, you know, Debbie is, you know, Saint Mother Teresa Debbie, you know, but it says one of the things on there is thieves. Debbie told me one time when she was little, her mother told her she couldn't have something in a store, and she opened up the package, took one out of 100 out, and took it home. And she was telling me about this, and so she stole something. My wife, Debbie, a thief. Just wanted all of you to know that. I wanted to, you know, I've confessed my sins enough. Let me confess her some, okay? Here's the point. My wife makes the list. Everybody makes the list. But here's what the next verse says. Verse 11 says, "And such were," past tense, "some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So we make it because of the blood of Jesus. As a matter of fact, remember the word virgin. When we're the bride of Christ, because of grace, watch what Paul says about us. 2 Corinthians 11:2, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste, that word means pure, virgin to Christ. Here's my good news for you. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have been made pure again. In other words, not only do we get to go to heaven, but we can carry Jesus and we can deliver Jesus to those around us. This is my Christmas message for you. Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I want you to know, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and if you haven't, you can do it right now, because you just do it the same way Mary did it. Lord, I believe. You just believe. But if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then Jesus has been conceived in you. You are carrying Him. He's being formed in you. And one day, the miracle's going to be completed, and you're going to deliver Him to the world that's around you. But I also want you to know that if you need a miracle in your life today, God is still a miracle-working God. 2,000 years ago, a virgin conceived, and she bore Jesus, who bore our sins on the cross, so that we could be forgiven and presented pure to the Lord once again. It's called Merry Christmas. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just take a moment and just say, like we do every weekend, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? And I really want you to think about it in two ways. Do you need a miracle right now in your family, in your health, in some area of your life? I want to remind you that's what Christmas is about. It's about God conceiving a miracle in a person, and then God completing that miracle through that person. So He would like to do a miracle through you. I want you to say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. But I also want you to think about that you can deliver Jesus to the world around you. That's the message of Christmas. And that's what I want us to do as a church. Let's carry and deliver Jesus to the world. Let me pray for you. Lord, we want to tell you thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for what Christmas represents. That everything changed from BC, before Christ, to AD, the year of our Lord. It all changed when you sent your Son into the world 2,000 years ago to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, a life that we couldn't live, and yet to die a death that we deserve to die, and to pay for our sins on the cross. And I pray, Lord, every person watching will carry you, will receive you, and will carry you and will deliver you to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas.
Wow, what an incredible message from Pastor Robert, ultimately wishing us all a Merry Christmas. Listen, we're so thankful again that you chose to join us. We hope you've been encouraged by this time. And our prayer is that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord would make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord would lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. God bless and Merry Christmas.